are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Friday, August the 21st, and a little bit more lottery reaction and some playoff reactions 2 games into each series. This is your boy Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering sports gambling for PlayMichigan.com, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for listening to the podcast, staying with us during the pandemic. We finally got some playoff basketball, some Pistons content. Things are actually happening in the world of the Pistons right now. But most importantly for Locked On Pistons, we got Fridays with Brian today. Brian, thanks for joining us again.
Thanks for having me again. Having a great time so far.
Absolutely. You guys are used to Fridays with Brian, my older brother, Brian Shook, and he's joining us and helping out with the podcast. We really appreciate him for that. Today, we are going to talk a little Pistons for the first segment, which is fun and nice, and then we'll go into the playoffs in the second segment, and then later on, we're going to break down the series that is the most consequential, the biggest thing that's going on in the NBA right now. We're going to talk about that, but give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore for that. Also, the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons Dash. Matt Shook. But, Brian, let's chop it up here. I will refer everyone to check out. I put up a podcast about an hour after the lottery on Thursday night where I kind of gave the news, obviously broke it down. I put out my big board 4.0 for the Pistons, now 7 players deep. We also did mock draft 1.0 for the Locked On Pistons podcast. And yeah, so check that one out. I thought it was pretty good work on my behalf. So pat myself on the back there. But we wanted to kind of take it to the next level here today. First off, I mean, number seven. As a Pistons fan, your whole life, do you feel like, man, Detroit got screwed again? I know a lot of the folks on Twitter. I got Bravo in my mentions saying, how can we be confident that we're getting it's rigged? How can we be confident that next year it's ever going to work out? Are you a conspiracy guy on some of this stuff? How do you feel about moving down to seven?
No, I'm not a conspiracy guy at all. This is always a crapshoot. I think we discussed this last week that nothing is guaranteed in this lottery except for usually the Pistons fall a couple spots. Well, mm-hmm. This is the first time they've fallen first two time, spots. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this is the worst luck they've ever had. But this year's prepared me for a lot, and I wasn't expecting a big win tonight to change the tide of that. But we were wishing. It's a little bit disappointing, but I'm not a conspiracy theorist. There wasn't a big enough prize in here this year's draft, I don't think, to necessarily rig it for anybody.
Yeah, Adam Silver really wanted to get Anthony Edwards on the Minnesota Timberwolves. That was the idea. We needed that to happen. Really, it will be interesting to see what happens with Golden State and everything. But if you're a Pistons fan and you're down because, once again, the Red Wings, it didn't work out. Everything that's going on with the Tigers and the Lions are the Lions. If you're bummed out, go back and listen to Thursday night's podcast. I tried my best to pick everyone's spirits up and explain to you why, the seventh pick, it's kind of a good thing for the Pistons. You get the salary is going to be better than the second or third pick. You're kind of avoiding the LeVar Ball, LaMelo Ball circus. I don't think that Anthony Edwards is a guy you want to be bringing into a bad losing situation, which this will be for another year or two. Gets Troy Weaver, the type of player that he wants to pick. Sure, 4 would have been better, 5 would have been better than 7, but pretty good spot all in all for the Pistons. A little bit of Mr. Brightside there. And Brian, you're going to turn the page back for us here and let us know historically why number 7 is pretty good too.
Well, this is coming back full circle. We're going to go all the way back to the first player entry draft in the NBA in 1950 when the Pistons were selecting, you guessed it, number 7. Mm-hmm. And they took George Yardley with
that's
that
right. Out of Stanford. One of the better Pistons of all time, obviously, before most of the listeners' time, I would think. But, yeah, I mean, we're talking top 10 Piston of all time, Hall of Famer, and a guy that, Fort Wayne and Detroit and really made it happen back then.
Absolutely. And then coming back through the years in the 60s, we saw the 7th pick turn into such Hall of Famers as John Havlicek and Pat Riley. Mm-hmm. And then even forward up a little bit more, and you get into the 70s with Quinn Buckner, Bernard King, Detroit's own Vinnie Johnson on that list as well. In the 80s, you had Chris Mullin, Kevin Johnson, not some huge names there. And then you get into the 90s, Bobby Hurley, Jason Williams out of Florida, another Piston connection with Rip Hamilton out of Connecticut in 1999 was picked at number 7. And then other players like Luol Deng, Charlie Villanueva, again, of some Piston connection. Charlie Villanueva. Yeah. Eric Gordon, Steph Curry, famously, of course, picked in that spot. At the beginning of this, last decade, I guess, the Pistons also picked number 7 and took Greg Monroe with that pick.
Not terrible.
And then a couple of, not a terrible pick there. And a couple of picks that have been recently in that number 7 slot, whether Bismack Biyombo, Jamal Murray, Lauri Markkanen, and Wendell Carter Jr. And then last year, Kobe White for the Chicago Bulls.
Yeah, the Bulls could pick number 7 forever.
Forever, right. So there are some good names on that list. So things fall right. We've got new front office to hopefully recognize and then develop some talent to hopefully put a name that is in the same mention with some of the names that we just put up there that have been picked there at that slot in the past.
Now, yeah, I will caution that, you know, don't expect Rip Hamilton, John Havlicek, or Steph Curry because, you know, this is not that type of draft. I mean, when players slip to 7 in a great draft, you can maybe end up with a Steph Curry or Rip Hamilton. So I think we should, you know, measure the expectations for, you know, best case scenario, something like a Vinnie Johnson career. Jamal Murray is probably a little bit out of reach for this type of pick. But yeah, Greg Monroe, Lauri Markkanen are a couple of the names that jump out as like, if you can kind of do it right and get one of those kind of guys, that's a nice piece. And again, this guy isn't going to turn the franchise around. In some ways, not single-handedly, but you know, you got to believe in the Troy Weaver era if you want to be optimistic about this. And maybe this is a culture type of pick, a piece type of pick that moves this team forward. And again, we talked Thursday night about some of the names. It's again, these are some of the names that I know a lot of Pistons fans like that are going to fit in here. Three guys in particular that I think could be around. I think, you know, at least one, probably more like two of them that are going to be out there at number 7, and guys that I really like throughout this draft process. So I'm going to give another plug to check out Thursday night's podcast, and we'll see how that all shakes out. But I'm going to throw a off-season scenario here at Brother Brian in a second after we talk it out with starting your morning with the news that matters in just 10 minutes. And that's Axios Today host Nyla Boudou and a team of award-winning journalists will bring you the latest analysis and insight into the trends shaping our world. So be sure to check that out. And up next, again, we're going to throw an off-season scenario at Brian. I got another trade around the NBA that I want to throw out there too. And we're talking playoffs as well. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But hey, the perfect service at the perfect time these days, these trying times, that is DoorDash. I mean, continue supporting the restaurants and community safely. I mean, there are thousands of restaurants still open for delivery all over the place. They're on DoorDash. They need your patronage now more than ever. Support your favorite restaurants in the state of Michigan or wherever you live on DoorDash. DoorDash is the app that brings you food that you're craving right now, right to your door. Couldn't be easier to order. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off setting. Many of those restaurants, they're still open for delivery. You got to help them out. This is the time to kind of reach out and help out the community. Just open the DoorDash app, select your favorite local restaurant, and your food will be left at your door. Also, the national chains out there, don't forget about them. Chipotle, Wendy's, the Cheesecake Factory, they're all on there too. And right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter promo code LOCKEDONNBA, all one word. That's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter promo code LOCKEDONNBA. Don't forget, that's code LOCKEDONNBA for $5 off your first order with DoorDash.
Yes!
All right, we got Brother Brian here joining us on the Friday edition. We go a little bit fast and loose on the Friday edition of Locked On Pistons. Brian, we talked about the lottery a little bit. First, we'll start with an NBA trade scenario that jumped off the page at me after the lottery. The Golden State Warriors are picking number 2 right now, and this just screams trade to me, right? They want someone who can help them win next season because they're going to have their healthy components back. There's a lot of maneuvering that Bob Myers and those guys can do going into next season, and obviously that number two pick helps, especially when there's high upside guys like James Wiseman, LaMelo Ball, Anthony Edwards. Two of those three will be available at least after number one is picked. What do you think about the New York Knicks swapping either the 8 pick for number 2 and Golden State and Mitchell Robinson kind of being involved as a starting center for the Golden State Warriors going into next season? Maybe Robinson and 8 is too much for 2, especially this because I think this is not a great draft. Or how about this? Mitchell Robinson straight up for number 2. What do you feel about that?
So in that second scenario, you'd be giving the Knicks both number 2 and number 8?
Correct.
Okay. I do like the first – well, I like both the moves for the Knicks. I think that they're at a point where they just need to stockpile picks, and especially in that city, they need to take as many shots as they can at swinging for the fences and finding that next superstar that's going to bring – the New York Knicks back to life. So I do like it for the Knicks. Golden State, they're kind of in a really, I would like to say good position, but when you've got superstars coming off injuries, that might not necessarily be the best adjective for that. But they've got some versatility and some maneuverability there. I think that it's really going to come down to how much they value that second pick. We seem to think it's a weaker year coming into this, and it seems to be the predominant feeling throughout the NBA of the people who know. But until you can get into the head of the front office, that number two pick could be something that I think a lot of teams are going the way of overvaluing draft picks and talking a lot of teams out of trading into specifically the top three, especially. I'm trying to remember when a key piece was moved for the top one or two picks here recently, and it's not jumping into my head. And this season may be a little different because of the fact that the draft isn't necessarily top heavy and that's pretty deep, so there might be a lot more trading down by teams so that don't think that they're going to lose a lot of value. But, I mean, it's going to come down to who the Warriors think they can get at number two and how does that fit into their system. And if that's better than Mitchell, I think they probably don't take that phone call. But, again, if they think it's a little weak at the top and they're ready to win now, obviously, as they've got Clay and Steph coming back off of injury, then I think that that might be a trade that should certainly be on their radar.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a catbird seat for Golden State because you either use that pick, you know, you could just draft, Tyrese Haliburton or LaMelo Ball and say that maybe this guy turns into something in the future, can come off the bench for a little while, so that's not so bad. Or you could use that pick to get a starting center, or you could use that pick to maybe get off of Andrew Wiggins' contract if that's something you want to do, and then you got some flexibility to do something else. So many teams are going to be up against the cap, but I think that Golden State having this pick becomes one of the more interesting teams this offseason. We'll see what they do about it. Another one that jumped out to me is, how about this? We know that the Phoenix Suns talked about Luke Kennard at the trade deadline. And we know that the Phoenix Suns are going into next season with this momentum. They believe they're going to the playoffs next year. They might be a Luke Kennard piece away from being solidly into the playoffs. The Pistons, Jeff Bauer is their general manager. He drafted Luke Kennard when he was with the Pistons. Is there a world where they can make that move right now and say, you know, the Pistons trade Luke Kennard, don't take this year's pick, maybe a future first-round pick, go a little bit full tank mode for next year, and say an old-school lottery-protected pick where now the new-school lottery-protected pick means that the selling team gets the lottery protection. I'm saying the buying team gets the lottery protection where that if it's not in the lottery this year, we kick the can one more year into the future, and then it maybe becomes unprotected. So you're kind of betting on the Phoenix Suns not making the playoffs again next year because it's the Western Conference. It's really tough. Do you think that Luke Kennard sell mode right now makes a little bit of sense for the Pistons, given that this is probably a team that might get a little worse before they get better?
if you can swap Luke Kennard for a lottery pick at this point and take that decision off your table, and especially going into some deeper drafts next year, I think you take that gamble. I don't think losing Luke Kennard is going to make or break the path your franchise is on at this point. So I would be willing as a Pistons fan to do that for the chance that Phoenix doesn't make the playoffs next year. And then, you know, depending on how the protection situation does work out, if that does get kicked down another year into what we know is a very deep draft potentially. So as a Piston fan, I would swap that to get the potential lottery pick. Absolutely. Phoenix, I think they showed a lot, and they are just, you know, probably a couple pieces from competing for that eighth spot. Let's not forget the West is still super competitive. So if you're vying for that 6th, 7th, 8th seed, you're also in danger of getting that 9, 10, 11 seed as well. So it would be interesting to see if Phoenix would be willing to give up that amount of perceived value. Again, when it comes to lottery picks, I've just noticed a trend in both football and in basketball, and then with high picks in football, teams just are, I say, overvaluing it. Maybe they're valuing it correctly. It just seems like there's a higher premium put on draft picks in both of those sports over the last decade, obviously having to do with the cost of players and contracts nowadays. But teams seem to value those picks more than the teams that are trying to get those picks in recent memory.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, but I just think that this might be a situation where you could find not only a front office that's a little bit over the barrel because they're are ascending, so maybe they are willing to give you some assets in the future. And Phoenix Suns, you know, those fans got to be hungry for some kind of success after all the struggles that they had. And how about this? Throw in Eli Okobo to the trade too, because now you got French guys all over the place, including the guy that I think that the mock draft. Going to the Pistons on Thursday night as well. So you could be the French young team, good times, and get that. Like I said, go for the next year's protected first pick where it only gets conveyed if it's inside the lottery for the Pistons, and then take your chances in a year after that if it gets kicked down the road. And then it's and if Phoenix can get to the playoffs two straight years and we end up with the 25th pick 2 years from now, you know, you rolled the dice and it didn't work out. And that's where you tip your hat to Jeff Bauer and the Suns for getting you on that one. That's what I would do. That's what I would focus on. But let's talk playoffs now, Brian. Yeah, I mean, to me, I didn't want to do a big playoff show after one game in each series. It feels kind of right after two games in each series because it would have been dumb to rethink about, are the Lakers in trouble? Are the Bucks in trouble? But now I think that save for a couple of series, I think it's gone pretty much how you might expect so far, right?
Yeah, there really hasn't been any big surprises outside of those two slip-ups that each of the number one seeds had there at the beginning. I'm not surprised, but I'm happy with the fight that some of the lower seeds are giving. I did like watching Utah play these last two games. They put up 130 points roughly in both of the games. So their offense is clicking and reminding us Pistons fans every day how good Donovan Mitchell is.
Yeah, we need that reminder.
Yeah, right. But that series to me has been one of the most well played by both teams consistently and entertaining with that Denver-Utah series. I think that those two teams are fun to watch. It to be determined if they're going to be having much to say about what happens in the story that is the 2020 playoffs.
Yeah, but let me step in there. I think you're right. And my point for that series is I think it's good. I'm going to enjoy watching games, you know, for the rest of the way. And it should go 7, in my opinion. But like I said, I don't think that this is going to ultimately be the series we remember from the 2020 playoffs. I think that the winner of that series moves on and probably loses to Clippers Dallas, a series we'll talk about a little bit later. But yeah, certainly entertaining. We're seeing Donovan Mitchell take it to another level. We're seeing Jamal Murray in game one take it to lead his team to a victory. And of course, we know about the brilliance of Jokic already. And we'll continue to see that. But before we were recording, you were talking about an Eastern Conference team that's really caught your attention your former hometown down there. Let's hear what you think about Eric Spoelstra and the guys.
Oh yeah, looking down at South Beach there, and maybe it was a prisoner of not having watched a lot of the regular season games, but the team can score in a lot of different ways. You've got, you know, Dragic, Duncan, and Hero out there on the perimeter, which seems to be all three of them are really stroking the ball and are dialed in right now. So the fact that Jimmy Butler is able to kind of sit off to the side and just pick his moments to kind of explode and just remind everybody that he's the best player on that court. And Indiana just looks overmatched. I was hoping for a more entertaining series, but I think after two games and, you know, taking into account that home court advantage isn't a thing right this year, that I don't see Indiana having a pathway back to making the series competitive as much as they've been outplayed by an impressive Miami Heat team so far.
Yeah, Miami goes on the road technically to get a couple of victories as the five seed against the four. But yeah, Indiana kind of perpetually very good, you know, good team, sometimes very good, but not quite good enough for like the 40th straight year, basically. Right. So feel bad for those fans in some ways, because you don't ever taste the champagne in the locker room, but it's a good team. So, I mean, the past 10 years, obviously, we'd take the Pacers over the Pistons at this
absolutely
point.
Absolutely. And losing Sabonis here, that was a scoring option that they vitally needed for this series and in the playoffs in general. So I think their fate was sealed with his injury.
And, you know, looking at the bottom half of the bracket in the East, impressive by Boston, very unimpressive by Philly. Kind of, I guess you could maybe see a little bit of that coming. Certainly Toronto and Brooklyn is not that much of a series. But Boston, Toronto should be great in the second round. Looking forward to that one. And then James Harden kind of proving once again that he is a force. And, you know, the best is – or the real turning point of his career is ahead of him, if it's ever going to come, maybe against the Lakers in the second round. And obviously we can't rule out Dame Lillard and the Portland Trailblazers quite yet. Had this the injury tonight. We'll see how that all works out. But James Harden is going to be a tough hurdle for the Lakers, assuming that's the second round matchup.
He just finds ways to win basketball games. It's not always pretty, but he's just such a unique player with such a broad skill set that is deceptive when you watch his game. He looks slower than he is. He looks off balance when he shoots. He looks out of control when he's he looks out of shape. He looks like
he's not
out of control when he's drawing contract. Yeah. All of a sudden he draws contract, he's in perfect control, and it's just an easy layup for him to complete a and one. It's frustrating to watch sometimes when you're rooting against him, but I've come around on James Harden. I think that he is such a strategic and smart basketball player and such a good situational player that he doesn't get enough credit, because he's not the superstar who's flying around the gym, dunking, running past everybody. All he's doing is making buckets and winning games.
Yeah, and taking out a team in OKC that, you know, everyone – a little bit of a darling coming into this playoffs – doing it without Russ Westbrook right now, and who knows, maybe Russell Westbrook gets back here in the second round and beyond for the Houston Rockets.
I think what James has done through these first two games, and, you know, the second game, Harden was obviously is always going to be a big part of it, but the secondary players for Houston really stepped up in the second game. And what I think that does is it buys some time with Russ. He doesn't have to hurry back now. He can take the extra day, and if they're able to make it 3-0, you know, be able to maybe sit out the first series and really get back to 100% and come back fresh for a potential matchup with the Lakers.
Yeah, Eric Gordon, 0-for-10 from three. James Harden, 2-for-11 from three. So 2-for-21. So not very good for those two, and they still handily win, take care of business against a very good team in Oklahoma City. But let's talk about, after the break here, the best series, they're going tonight, then they're going Sunday again. So it's kind of a highlight of the NBA weekend. And that, of course, is Clippers versus Mavericks. We're not going to talk about that up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. All right. And the weekend of basketball, you know, four games today, four games Saturday, four games Sunday, so everything you'd possibly want as a basketball fan, but pretty undeniable that the series that stands out that will have long-term consequences, you know, we could be witnessing the playoff legend start of Luka Doncic going forward here. So obviously everyone's going to have the eyes on Clippers v. Mavericks, 1-1 right now as we sit here going into tonight. And then I think a nice little 3:30 time slot on Sunday, national TV. That's going to be of a lot of eyeballs on it. So what stands out to you so far about Mavs Clippers?
Just how fun the Dallas Mavericks are to watch. They're just an absolute joy. And I was a fan. I've been a fan of this guy above Bobin when he was here in Detroit, even before he was here in Detroit. He's just such an odd player and a matchup nightmare. There were a half dozen baskets. I believe he scored about 10 points. I'd have to look at the stat line, but I know he had almost double digits in points. And those were some easy buckets that he was scoring in with that second unit. So I think that Dallas, what jumps out to me is just how loose Dallas seems to be playing. And, you know, they caught the unfortunate and controversial Kristaps Porzingis ejection in the first game, which really, I think, swayed the momentum in that first game, obviously, over to the Clippers, which they carried out to, edge out a victory against Dallas. But in that second game, when they're at full strength, Dallas is every bit of what the Clippers want in this first round. This is going to be a tough out for them. And I see the winner of this series having their ticket stamped possibly for the Western Conference Finals or even the Finals when it gets down to that point.
Yeah, certainly legit teams. A lot of teams were, a lot of guys were picking the Clippers to win it all, and nothing wrong with that pick. But if the Mavericks are able to get over that hump in the first round, they're going to have all sorts of momentum going into Denver or Utah. That's a 9 o'clock game tonight. Clippers Mavericks series tied 1-1. TNT's got all the games today. Well, the final three, NBA TV, Raptors, Nets, but you can skip that one. So Clippers Mavs. Clippers are 5-point favorites tonight. And like I said, Sunday, that's going to be the ABC 3:30 game. Luka, Kawhi, Paul George, Porzingis, and Boban, like you said. What more could you possibly want out of that series? So, yeah, that's obviously the one that we're going to keep an eye on. I think we're going to save the predictions. Maybe we'll see if they go 2-2, and maybe we'll make a bet going into games 5, 6, and 7. But enjoy that for this weekend. That's going to be a fun one as we, this is what you got to see. You can't watch all four games both times of the weekend. Maybe you can, and if you want to do that, that's fine. But pick your battles. Watch that 9 o'clock game on Friday night, and then Sunday 3:30. Clear the calendar for that. But hey, let's go into the weekend now. Thanks you guys for listening. Thanks again to Brother Brian for helping us out on a Thursday night like he has done lately. That'll do it for the Locked On Pistons podcast. This is your boy Matt Shook, and saying, go ahead and tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked On NBA. Talk to you guys on Monday. Have a great weekend, everyone.